We'll go to the book of Joshua for our study tonight, the book of Joshua. Just a moment, we want to begin reading Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. Do a lengthy reading, 26 verses. You remember the history of the nation of Israel, no doubt, when Moses brought them out of the land of bondage and the land of Egypt. He brought them to the promised land, that they were to enter God's rest. Of course, they did not enter that rest because of disobedience, and he sent them back out into the wilderness for 40 years to wander in the wilderness. Eventually, the next generation comes back to the land of promise, the land of Canaan, and this time, through faithful obedience, they began to inherit that land of promise that God had promised them. They take the city of Jericho. We're familiar with that. Taking the city of Jericho, they followed God's distinctive plan. God had a plan by which the walls of Jericho would fall and they would be able to take the city. They followed that plan precisely, and they were able to take the city with no problem. Then they came to the city of Ai, the second city of Canaan, to be taken, but they had a problem. They had sin in the camp. And because they had sin in the camp, they fled from the enemy. They had to correct the problems before God would give them victory over the city of Ai. When they first went to take the city of Ai and sent men, many of them were killed and they had to turn their backs on their enemy and had to flee. Let's read of this account of taking the city of Ai and what caused and brought about this problem. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. The accursed things. The curse simply means devoted. Sometimes things were devoted to God. They could also be referred to as accursed things. But sometimes things were devoted to destruction, and they were also referred to as accursed things. So in the taking of the city of Jericho, God had informed them that they were not to take of the accursed things, the things that were devoted to destruction. As a matter of fact, the entire city of Jericho, minus Rahab and her family, were devoted to destruction. And all the spoils of war they could not take, except those things God intended for them to bring into the treasury of the house of the Lord. All of those things they could not lay hands on and take for themselves as spoils of war. Those were accursed things. Whether they be things that were to be devoted to God or things that would have been devoted completely to destruction. And so on this occasion, Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, he was of the tribe of Judah, and he took of the accursed things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell on the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we have been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? They fled from the enemies. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, that is, they fled from their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. So now Achan has taken of the accursed things, and now he himself is going to be destroyed. So that which was devoted to destruction, having been taken by the troubler of Israel, as he's referred to in 1 Chronicles 2 and verse 7, he himself is going to be devoted to destruction. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the families, and the families which the Lord takes shall come by household, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Then he brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. So he whittles it down. The tribes come, the 12 tribes, and of all the tribes, Judah was taken. Now who's doing the sorting of these out? It is God. He knows where the sin is. God is choosing the one. Verse 19, now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. Tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zer, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. Achor simply means the valley of trouble. That's why Achan was referred to as the troubler of Israel. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, And they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor, to this day the Valley of Trouble. In our lesson tonight, we want to consider Achan's sin by looking at three things regarding this. That is, his desire that he had, which you might say brought about his disobedience, and of course which ended in his detection as one who had transgressed the covenant of God. So let's look at these three things. First of all, Achan's desire in the matter. Remember, God has, as I had mentioned earlier, had put a ban on the city of Jericho before it was captured. He had told them specifically that they should not take any of the accursed things in Joshua 6 and in verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. So the city of Jericho was an accursed city. It itself had been doomed to destruction or devoted to destruction. It and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. Remember, an accursed thing was that which was either devoted to God or devoted to destruction. And so if you take of the accursed things, you become accursed. You become devoted to destruction. So abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They're devoted or set apart to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So what did Israel have to do? All they had to do was follow God's instructions. Don't take of the accursed things. No spoil was to be taken for one's own use. If any spoil was to be taken, it was only that which God said here in verse 19 of Joshua 6, that should be brought into the treasury of the Lord. So everything in the city was accursed or devoted to destruction except the silver and the gold and the vessels of iron and brass. They were to be given to the Lord's treasury. All else was to be destroyed. Well, Achan's first mistake was in seeing and desiring that which God had forbidden him to have. Joshua 7 and verse 21, Joshua simply says, I saw, I coveted them and took them. That's his desire. A longing and craving for that which God forbid him to have. That's what covetousness actually is. It's an unlawful desire to have that which God forbids you to have. God forbids you to have something, and you have a desire, longing, or craving for it, it is covetousness. You note this covetousness began by Achan simply seeing. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took. And that's what sin often does. It often begins with an unlawful desire brought about simply by what we see. Achan coveted the items of value that he saw, even though he knew they belonged to the accursed city. He was forbidden to take them, but he took them nonetheless. Many sins begin with seeing that which God forbids us to have and taking that which God forbids us to have. Many examples could be given of this. Genesis 3 and verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. God had forbidden her to do that. But the desire to do that which God had forbidden her to do started simply by her seeing it. Sometimes we probably don't think much about what we see with our eyes and how much they influence us, perhaps, to sin, but they do. We see something, and because of that which we see, we end up in disobedience to God. Other examples. In 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 10, now King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And he saw an altar that was at Damascus, and King Ahaz sent to Uriah the priest the design of the altar and its pattern according to all of its workmanship. Now King Ahaz was king of Judah. He was the father of Hezekiah, a good king. King Ahaz was not a good king, or a king. Ahaz was not a good king, but his son was, Hezekiah. King Ahaz, being the king of Judah, goes to Damascus, and he sees an idolatrous altar there. And evidently, he was pleased with what he saw, and he wanted one like it for himself. He wanted to take the pattern of that and have one fashioned just like it for the temple or tabernacle in Jerusalem. And so he sent to Uriah the priest the design of the altar and its pattern according to all of its workmanship. Then Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it before King Ahaz came back from Damascus. And what did he do with it? Well, he put it in the temple or tabernacle. He used an idolatrous altar in the place of that which God had authorized to begin with. Ahaz did many things like that. He took many things and reconfigured many things of the temple and tabernacle that God had given specific ways in which they were to be made and ways in which they were to be used, and Ahaz just distorted all of it. He didn't like God's pattern. He didn't like God's plan. He didn't like what was made for the temple of the tabernacle. If he thought he saw something better, he had it made and he had it placed before God. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 25. And in every single city of Judah he made high places to burn incense, note this, to other gods, and he provoked to anger the Lord God of his father. And it all started out simply because King Ahaz saw an idolatrous altar that he wanted. We also see the same thing in David, 2 Samuel 11 and verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold, and we know what happened after that. David lusted after this beautiful woman that he saw. He made opportunity to gratify the lust of the flesh. Ended up having her husband killed. Ended up fathering a child that died from this relationship. And David did all of this because he saw her. But he knew it was wrong to covet that which he saw, because God had said, you shall not commit adultery, nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife. And that's exactly what David had done. And it all started because of what he saw. We see another example of that in the book of Acts, in Acts 18, regarding Simon, who used to, in the context, be referred to as Simon the Sorcerer. That is, he practiced sorcery and black magic and deceived many of the people, but he became a Christian. And having observed the apostles imparting spiritual gifts through the laying on of hands, having seen that, he wanted that gift for himself. So Acts 8 and verse 18, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." Simon simply desired the power that he saw that the apostles had. But for two reasons, that desire was unlawful. Simply because he saw it and desired it, coveted it, didn't mean he could have it. He's coveting that which God forbids him to have. We're told in Acts 8 and in verse 20, Peter said to him, "Your money shall perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." The gift of God could not be purchased with money. "And you neither have part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're poisoned by bitterness, and bound by iniquity." So that's Achan's desire, brought about the sin of disobedience. Even though God had forbidden him to take it, he saw it, and he took it. He took of the accursed things. That is, he simply disobeyed. And so his disobedience, Joshua 7 and verse 1 again, "For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things." He confessed, "I saw, I coveted them and took them." And he confessed where he had hidden them. He had hidden them in the earth, in his tent, with the silver under it. What he had taken, he had hid. And him hiding it shows that he was conscious of his disobedience. He was conscious of the fact that he was violating the will of God. Sometimes a person may sin in ignorance. Doesn't know any better. But him hiding that which he had taken indicates that he was conscious of what he was doing. He was conscious of the fact that he had disobeyed God in taking these things. And all disobedience is serious. Remember Saul, the first king of Israel? God had given him a command, and he disobeyed, and because of his disobedience, God rejected him from being king over Israel. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 3, God said, "Go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. But kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." And we perhaps think that is inhumane to do that. But God required it of them, and Saul disobeyed. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 17, prophet Samuel said to Saul, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel?" When you were little, in his own eyes he's not little anymore. He's not talking about his stature. He's talking about the way he sees himself. He was a man of humility at first. He was not lifted up with pride and haughtiness and filled with arrogance, but now he is. He sees himself as big and important. And so when he was little in his own eyes, he was indeed head of the tribes of Israel. "And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel when you were in that state or in that condition? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and I brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." He brought back the king. He had not uttered to destroy it. Oh, he had obeyed. He had obeyed halfway, but partial obedience is no obedience at all. Saul continues in verse 21 of 1 Samuel 15, "But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been uttered and destroyed, as if he had no responsibility in the matter. He's king. He could have kept them from partaking of that spoil, but he allowed them to do it. He said, they took to sacrifice the Lord your God in Gilgal. But Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The answer to that is no. You see, Saul said they kept all of this in order to sacrifice. God had not asked for sacrifice. He had rather them to have obeyed than to sacrifice. As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." So disobedience is serious. It kept Saul from continuing his kingship over the nation of Israel. And what about the man of God that was in Judah, that God had sent to Bethel, prophesy against that altar that Jeroboam had set up? Remember, God's instructions to that prophet from Judah when he sent him was, when you go there and prophesy against Jeroboam and against that altar, return back to Judah, but don't go come back the same way. And don't stay there and partake of a meal and spend the night. No, you go and prophesy against the altar and against Jeroboam and you return. Well, an old prophet told him that he'd seen an angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord said, you are to stay with me, consume a meal with me, and the young prophet believed it. Now, when the prophet who had brought him back, the old prophet, had brought him back from the way, heard it, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Note that. He was disobedient to the word of the Lord because the prophet turned back and stayed with the old prophet, consumed a meal with him, and then went on his way, and a lion killed him on the way. And the old prophet said it happened because he was disobedient to the word of the Lord. He should not have believed the old prophet because the old prophet lied. He had not seen an angel. He had not been instructed to stay with him. We also see the same disobedience in the people of Israel when they were taken away into Babylonian captivity. In Nehemiah 9, in verse 26, when the Levites are teaching the people of Ezra, Nehemiah's day, their history, one part of it read, "Nevertheless, they were disobedient," that is, the children of Israel was, "and rebelled against you, God. Cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself. And they worked great provocation." All the sons of disobedience are actually sons of wrath. Ephesians 5 and verse 6, "For the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." And what happened to Achan? Well, he was a son of disobedience. And wrath or destruction came upon him. He had taken of the accursed things and he had turned himself into an accursed thing. That which was devoted to destruction. Of course, Achan did not believe that he would be detected in taking of the accursed things. Evidently, he didn't think he would be found out and detected. He thought perhaps his sin was hidden. Perhaps he thought that no one saw me take of these things, and now I've hidden them away and no one knows of what I've done. Yes, someone did know. As a matter of fact, who was it that brought his sin to their attention? It wasn't someone from the tribe of Judah. Wasn't someone from the tribe of Levi. No, it was God himself. Evidently, no person, if they did know what Achan had done, had tattled on him. No, God knew that he had sinned. So in time, Joshua learned the identity of the guilty party, because God identified Achan for them. Joshua 7 and verse 21 again. Achan said, I saw, I coveted them and took them, and they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. Joshua 7 and verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. They took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. His sin found him out, didn't it? He thought he had hidden it. Should remind us of the words of Moses in Numbers 32 and in verse 23. Be sure your sins will find you out. Be certain that your sins will find you out. They will. It may take some time, but you will be found guilty of sin. All trespasses in this life, all sins in this life, may not be detected in this life by man, but they're known of by God. 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 24, Paul told the young evangelist, some men's sins are clearly evident. That is, they're easily seen. They're known of, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. Some men's sins will follow them to judgment. Other men will not know about them, but God knows about them. And they will simply follow them to judgment, and they will be found out. Because there is no act of disobedience, and no wicked thought will escape God in the day of judgment. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, the wise man said, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Though it might not be known of man, because it is secret between you and God only, it still will be brought out come the day of judgment. As in our reading tonight in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Let's not think that we can hide our sin. Let's learn from the case of Achan that no sin will be kept from God. Achan had to learn that the hard way. But not only he, remember, his family had to learn that the hard way. His whole family was destroyed. All that he had. And so let us learn from the case of Achan and his sin. We need to learn, as Achan did, that when God says not to partake of something, he means what he says. And we must listen. If he forbids us to engage in something, he means what he says. If he forbids us to have something, he means what he says. We also need to learn from this case of taking the city of Ai that when God gives instructions pertaining to a matter, we need to carry out his instructions to the letter. Just think about it. The Israel of old foreshadows the church. The church today is spiritual Israel. The Israel of old was simply a foreshadow of the church to come. And the nation of Israel as a whole was given instructions in regarding to the taking of Ai. And when the church today does not follow the instructions that God has given it to the letter, it will be like the nation of Israel in the days of old. Sin will be in the camp. And until they correct that sin, God's judgment will be upon them. So let's learn these lessons from Achan's sin. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, repent of that sin. Confess that sin, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.